happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Erin Johns.
And happy Christopher Street Liberation Day, which is what we call the annual celebration of the Stonewall, or marking of the Stonewall Rebellion. But we've got lots of current news. We've been telling you how pride events are under attack across the country, but they're also blossoming in some towns for the first time.
Yes, and the College Board has stood up to Ron DeSantis's Don't Say Gay law.
And we're going to show you a teacher in Florida telling his school board why he and apparently 50 others in the district are leaving the profession over DeSantis's anti-LGBTQ laws.
Anti-trans laws have been blocked in Indiana and Arkansas by federal judges.
And an anti-drag law was slapped down in Utah. Polling on LGBTQ issues in some polls has been slipping just a bit after all this assault.
And a TV news director in the Midwest has told his staff to cool it on the Pride coverage. Let's talk about the other side, he says. Well, we're going to show you how the producers reacted to that.
A Montana man got 18 years on the slammer for trying to kill all the LGBTQ people in a small town.
Oh, goodness. And there has been some progress internationally in Estonia, Australia, and Poland, surprisingly.
The United States is imposing visa restrictions on anti-LGBTQ Ugandan politicians.
And the UK's PM, Rishi Sunak, has been caught on videotape mocking transgender people in a meeting with conservative MPs.
And I saw Christian Cooper's Nat Geo Wild series, Extraordinary Birder, which has premiered with a plug for pride in the animal kingdom. There's Chris. And speaking of pride, you know, this is Pride Month. And if you are so moved and you're proud of what we do here, we would appreciate it if you would consider a donation to us. You can go to our website at GayUSATV. There are all kinds of ways to do it. And Marin and I and Ann and Chris will all be appreciative. And Bill and Rich.
Everybody, the whole team. And what a delight Chris is. If you didn't catch last week's episode where we're chatting to him about the book, please do go back and look at it. He's a fabulous, such a wonderful, warm guest as well as a good host, isn't he, Andy?
Yes, and I'll remind you that Anne will be back next week after two wonderful weeks with Marin. And our guest then is going to be Martha Shelley, who was a pre-Stonewall activist. She saw Stonewall. She saw the rebellion while it was going on, and she got involved right away in the post-Stonewall movement. So let's talk about what's going on in Pride around the world. Mm. You know, we told you last week about Colorado Springs. What do they call it? Pikes Peak.
Pikes Peak,
right.
Yes.
And how Richard Fierro, there he is sitting in the car on the right. He was the hero who stemmed the slaughter at Club Q last year. He was the Grand Marshal. He's a self-described straight Jew who saved countless lives with his bravery. But we have these pictures now. They had 15,000 people out there, the largest ever. Among them were Sabrina and Jeff Alston marching in this Pikes Peak Pride, holding a picture of their son, Daniel Alston, who was slain in the mass shooting. The parade was preceded by a memorial ceremony. And billboards were erected with pictures of the five victims of that slaughter.
Horrible. And let's remember that Fierro, the gentleman in the car as the Grand Marshal of that parade with his rainbow sash on, he is that man who crossed the bloody dance floor to grab the barrel of the gun and stop that massacre. I mean, that's an incredible gesture. His daughter's boyfriend, Raymond Vance, died in the shooting. It's a real reminder of where we can go with pride and also what we're up against, because we can't forget that Colorado was once called the hate state and has, we know it's got, you know, Lauren Boebert there and has not always looked upon our communities favorably, even though now it has a reputation of supporting transgender people. A lot of transgender friends of mine have moved there. But yeah, this is an interesting example of what the United States is going through, I feel. Hate groups on one side, progress on another. It has also, Colorado has one of the oldest in the country, anti-LGBT hate groups called Focus on the Family, I believe, Andy. Isn't that right?
So, yes, and you have an update, Focus on the Family, and you have an update on the case of the Club Q.
I do, and the shooter. So the shooter was in a rare conversation with Associated Press this week. The suspect, who is 23-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich, who does identify as non-binary, has said, "I have to take responsibility for what happened." These comments came in a series of calls from jail to Associated Press. Now, some of the victims' families are saying that this seems like a plea deal, that is to get Aldrich off the death sentence and have it sort of commuted to just life in prison. But we'll see. It is sounding like they are expressing some kind of remorse. But anyway, the prosecutors have asked survivors and their families to prepare for the June 26 hearing by writing victim impact statements and, you know, getting ready for the possible release of horrifying surveillance video. But anyway, Aldrich faces more than 300 state counts, including murder and hate crimes.
Let's go to Grand Haven, Michigan. I love the headline I saw on this story. Midwest Small Town Pride Festival attracts thousands who reject far-right local politics. One lesbian couple said they moved there 14 years ago, but it kept their relationship hidden. But last week, they participated in this was the first Pride Festival they've had in this area of Michigan. The organizers said they hoped for 500 attendees in a town of 11,000. 4,000 people participated.
Wow.
The local county council is reactionary and anti-LGBT and denied funds to the Pride Fest in Holland, Michigan, that the previous boards had funded. One of the movers in Grand Haven was Reverend Jared Kramer, the local Episcopal pastor. Festival organizers paid for beefed up security after threats. But there was a Pride worship service attended mostly by the 50-plus crowd and the Michigan Lieutenant Governor, Gilchrist.
I mean, good job. The county is apparently very religious. So, I mean, to them, the whole Pride celebration is an infringement of their Christian values, really. But it seems they pulled this off very nicely this year.
And the Holland Pride Festival, population 35,000, is going to be the home of of Betsy DeVos, is going to be this weekend. Now, in Kentucky, in Corbin, on June 3rd, two members of the KKK threatened with guns a small LGBTQ rights rally, and the police did not arrest them. They were brandishing guns. They didn't arrest them. It's deeply concerning. They weren't even from the town. Police originally contacted the FBI, then they took that post down. And in the weeks that followed, the KKK distributed flyers in Corbin urging parents to take control of their schools, remove all filth from school libraries, two gender policies, and the presence of men in the restrooms. In other words, the Republican Party platform at this point. And I say that without exaggeration.
Oh, there's some viral video getting around on TikTok of one of the KKK, one of the guys flashing his membership card. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We always used to say, Andy, that the younger ones would be better, but unfortunately, increasingly more and more young people are going astray onto the side of darkness. Goodness me.
But the really young ones are getting the right message, aren't they, from Sesame Street? They've been celebrating Pride all month, standing up for all kids. The show is tweeting support on social media in the face of unprecedented attacks on LGBTQ kids from Republicans. Recently featured out celebrities like Ellen, Billy Eichner, Billy Porter, Lil Nas X. In 2021, they introduced three gay characters to the neighborhood. Republicans want to cut off their negligible government funding, but they failed.
And I'd like to tell Sky News host James McPherson to shut up and sit down, because he's actually come out and said that, you know, Sesame Street is indoctrinating and grooming children into the LGBTQ lifestyle. You know, the audience is 3 to 5 years of age. Why do we need to teach them these values? Well, Sesame Street did tweet On our street, we celebrate inclusion, belonging, and freedom of authentic self-expression. Happy Pride Month. So if you can find the sexual indoctrination in that, I've got no idea.
And we celebrate our diversity and our and everything else in the Queer Liberation March. The fifth one is going to take place in New York this Sunday, June 25th. We're having a rally downtown at 2 p.m. in Foley Square in the Civic Center. We're kicking off the march at 3:30 and marching uptown to Washington Square Park. I'll be there and hope to see you around. Okay. Let's update people on the Dodgers.
Yes, I think so.
The Dodgers did honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence there on Pride Night. An anti-LGBT Catholic group led a protest outside, claiming the Sisters were an anti-Catholic hate group, which they are not, and their costumes are no more ridiculous than many worn by priests and nuns. And I mean that, you know, people are in costume, so what? I mean, it's what you do with your heart, and it's what you do with your actions. They're not doing anything obscene. They're not mocking anybody. 49,000 tickets were sold to the Pride Night game. It was a sellout crowd. And when the Sisters were honored, there were no boos and there was much applause. Every player and umpire wore Pride logos on their caps or on their jerseys. And the five-year-old son of Tom Daley and Dustin Lance Black, Robbie, threw out the first pitch. You can see them up on the big screen there. That's the first time I've seen the kid's face because they always hide his face in their Instagram posts, which is probably a good thing to do. But anyway, so it was gay, gay, gay. What about that soccer match between?
Oh, that was upsetting. And I know this is a tradition in sport, or it's kind of more like a tactic in sport, is to, you know, shout or whisper even homophobic slurs into the ears of your adversaries. But this kind of backfired. The United States men's match against Mexico was actually cut short on Thursday night because the referee was frankly pissed that the whole stadium degenerated into chanting and shouts of homophobic slurs from the Mexican soccer fans. And these are directed especially at the goalkeepers, apparently, to try and distract them from their task. So they've been trying to officials have been trying to stamp this practice out with fines and with bans, and now in this match just finished the game early. So anyway, US, I believe, was up 3 goals when the match ended after 12 minutes of stoppage time because of this chanting. So Andy, I hope everyone's happy.
Well, okay, let's go to Florida, where we tend to go these days. First of all, there's a lawsuit in Florida against their ban on the book Tango Makes Three, which is, the book about the gay penguins that raised a kid. But the College Board said it will not alter its AP psychology courses to comply with the state ban on talking about gender identity or sexual orientation right through the 12th grade, which is insane. They said, we learned from our mistakes in the rollout of the African-American Studies AP. We will not modify our courses to accommodate restrictions on teaching essential college-level topics. The College Board said that sexual orientation and gender identity have been a part of the AP course in psychology for 30 years. Now, the DeSantis Education Commissioner, Manny Diaz, said, he did not want students force-fed radical gender and sexual ideology, echoing, of course, all the right-wing propaganda that's out there.
I'm just appalled. I mean, I actually am, as a former educator, I'm actually appalled that this is happening, and I'm glad that they've stood up, because we're talking about psychology here. We're not talking about, again, this idea that we're sexually indoctrinating people. I mean, this is education that's meant to help people, like educate them to take care of others. So, wow, headed for the dumbest state, people. You're headed for the dumbest state.
Well, in Hernando County, Florida, north of Tampa there, they had a big school board meeting, and there were scores of people on our side showing up to tell the board they were destroying the schools with their right-wing anti-LGBTQ agenda. And We've learned that about 50 teachers in this district alone are resigning at the end of the year. They're not going to get anybody to be able to teach, which is, of course, I guess what they want is to destroy public education. But one of them stood up at this board meeting. You're not going to see his face. The meeting was shot from afar. And we're going to show you his entire, about a 3-minute speech, what he said to the board.
My name is Daniel Scott, and I have proudly worked at Springstead High School for the last 3 years. In those last 3 years, I have learned and accomplished a lot. I had great support from my admin and fellow staff members, and through that support, I took on a more rigorous course load. I began teaching AP classes and have found some success in doing so. My AP pass rate last year was above the global average for all students who took the World History exam worldwide. I also took on external responsibilities. I work closely with IB students to aid them in receiving their IB diplomas. I sponsor a club on campus, and I also took on the position of senior class sponsor, which I was motivated to take on after serving as senior class president at Central High School under then-principal John Stratton. I love my school, and I love the career of education. However, effective a couple weeks ago, I have resigned from my position. The board has discussed earlier today about teacher retention. You've addressed pay, you've addressed certification issues, and you've addressed a lack of mentorship. What you have not addressed are the draconian working conditions that are causing many, such as myself, to abandon this honored career. As you stated, 83% of teachers in their first 3 years are leaving the profession. These are not all due to certification issues. I had no shortage of mentorship. I had no issues with my ability to certify. I'm leaving because I feel the board is more interested in removing pride flags and banning literature than they are in protecting us educators. I'm leaving because I don't feel that I can adequately provide a safe environment for my students anymore. I'm leaving because I refuse to work for an organization that sees supporting kids for who they are as indoctrination. I'm leaving because I refuse to teach fabricated history that prioritizes a nationalistic narrative before an accurate one. The attempts to sanitize this profession to fit a political bias is what is causing my departure. Now, I would not call myself a great teacher. I lack a lot of the experience necessary to do so. I certainly would never argue that I was appointed by God to educate. But I will tell you that many of our district's most talented professionals are leaving for similar reasons as I. I am not the first to leave, nor will I be the last. I am not sure a recruiter is going to solve your problems. Students need great teachers to protect them. Teachers need great school board to protect them in these very tumultuous times. Right now, I don't feel that that is the case in Hernando County. If we do not stop witch hunting our most dedicated professionals, we will see a death of this profession. Teachers need the freedom to be empathetic human beings, the freedom to teach our content that we are masters of in an honest way without censorship of the parts one doesn't like. We need the freedom to be a safe adult for the students to confide in when they need support. Until these changes are made, I believe we will continue to see turnover. There will be more. Above all things right now, you must support us, trust us, protect us, or lose us. These are your options. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
Inspiring. I hope he's going to stay in the teaching profession and work elsewhere in a more accepting state. I mean, here, like in New York, we're trying to expand introduction of LGBTQ topics in schools. It's not easy. We've been working on that forever. There's a lot of resistance, but that's the law now. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Education depends on finding out about things that you wish you didn't have to. That's why it's called education. Cherry picking the facts to a political agenda is indoctrination, which is exactly what they are doing.
That's true. I mean, you know, I think back on my early education. You know, I went to Catholic school, but certainly learned how to read and write and everything, but there were certainly large elements of indoctrination, not just Catholic, but in terms of the country and what we're supposed to feel about America and everything that happened. And Now we're giving kids the facts, and it makes people uncomfortable. All right. Before we move on to some other state news, yesterday, sort of an historic day in New York. They dedicated the corner of Fifth Avenue and Washington Square North. They co-named it for marriage equality pioneers Edie Windsor and Thea Speier, who brought that Supreme Court case. Well, Edie did. Her spouse was dead to get federal rights for gay couples. Now, look at that picture. You've got the governor of New York there is the second from the left. And next to her is Carolyn Maloney to the far left. And then next to her is Edie Windsor's surviving spouse, Judith Kaysen Windsor, and council members and state senators and Glenda Testone from the community center and everything like that. So it was a really, you know, a lot of the women who spoke, including the governor and Carol Maloney, they talked about, and oh, sorry, Tish James is in the back there, our state attorney general.
There she is, yes.
And they talked about Edie Windsor as a mentor. Tish James said, she's our Rosa Parks, you know.
Wow. Which
is, you know, I'm nice to hear, it was a black woman saying that. But, you know, she was such an inspiration to all these people. The governor said, you know, I love powerful women who stand up for themselves. And that's what Edie was all about.
That is high praise indeed. And thank you to Judith, who continues to, advocate on behalf of Edie and who was behind this. And also, you know, shout out to my adopted home, New York City, which has this fabulous tradition of naming streets and ways and parts of the city after these trailblazing people.
And listen, Edie and Thea lived in the same building. There were some other prominent New Yorkers who lived there they could have named this for. Bella Abzug, the great feminist leader and congresswoman. Ed Koch, not my favorite person,
no.
Was the mayor. And Larry Kramer, who was like the great, you know, the founder of ACT UP and GMHC. So it went to, I'm going to say this, and this may sound controversial. We did this in the shadow of the Washington Square Arch, where there are two statues of George Washington. Now, all right, he founded the country. Okay, he's a founding father, who was a slaver also. How about taking one of those statues down? One, I'm trying to compromise here, and make room for honoring people like Edie and Thea and other great people in the village who have made such a difference to our lives. That's my suggestion.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's go back to state news. In Nevada, Republican Governor Joe Lombardo vetoed a bill from the Democrat-controlled legislature that would have guaranteed a right to contraception. The religious right and Clarence Thomas have contraception in the crosshairs, having ended the right to abortion. The U.S. House passed a national right to contraception bill last year when Nancy Pelosi was speaker, but it was filibustered in the Senate. Now, actually, in reading this story, I'm encouraged that some Republican governors, surprisingly in Arkansas, West Virginia, and Indiana, have signed bills protecting contraceptives, but 195 House Republicans voted against it last year. All right, I'm going to go on to that Michigan story in Grand Rapids. At WOOD-TV, an NBC affiliate, there's a newsroom rebellion against this guy, news director Stanton Tang, who issued a memo to staff to scale back Pride coverage and to present both sides in those stories. In other words, quote the haters in the stories. My friend David Rothenberg calls this getting the Nazi view of Passover.
Nice.
And at Pride marches, the protests are often by actual neo-Nazi groups these days. Now, Tang is said to get a lot of his ideas. He's the news director. He gets a lot of his ideas from Newsmax and all these right-wing places. And he follows the limbs of TikTok. So the company that owns this, Nexstar, they're apologizing for this. The newsroom is in total revolt over this and said, we are not going to abide by this memo. We are going to cover Pride. So it's encouraging that there's been some resistance there. All right, in Texas, Governor Abbott signed a bill, speaking of haters, placing limits on trans athletes now in college sports. Soon they'll move on to the professional leagues, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's effective September 1st. Individuals can sue if trans athletes are allowed to compete on teams that align with their gender identity.
But we had better news in Arkansas, didn't we? Federal judge in Arkansas on Tuesday struck down the state's law forbidding medical treatment for children and teenagers seeking gender transitions, blocking what has been the first in a wave of these measures. This case is being really closely watched because it could set a precedent, I think, for what the other states do in terms of transition care for minors.
Right. This is just James Moody.
Moody Jr.
Right. An Obama appointee.
Isn't that interesting? Yes.
I mean, he said Arkansas had not proved the case that treatments are harmful. Rather, the evidence showed that the prohibited care improves the mental health and well-being of patients. And the state undermined the interests it claims to be supporting. This is an ACLU case. Thank you, ACLU.
Yes.
And in St. George, Utah, the U.S. District Court Judge David Nuffer, another Obama appointee, granted a preliminary injunction to a drag show festival, which was denied a permit in a city park. The judge said the First Amendment ensures all citizens, popular or not, majority or minority, conventional or unconventional, have access to public spaces for public expression. He said public officials and judges are not permitted to make decisions based on personal preference or values. That's what America is supposed to be all
supposed to be. And should we talk about the Trump appointee, Judge James Patrick Hanlon, who blocked most of Indiana's laws against trans care for minors? You know, that's a very nice surprise, isn't it?
That a Trump appointee. He's a Trump appointee.
Yes, in 2018. So not all bad, thank goodness for that. But this law known as SEA 480, which Indiana's Republican-controlled legislature passed earlier this year, was meant to prohibit physicians from providing minors with treatments such as puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and surgery intended to help them transition.
We left the surgery ban in place because we're not almost entirely not asking for that.
Yes.
He called the ban sex discrimination, and that requires heightened scrutiny. And he said the plaintiffs were being denied equal protection under the law. Now, this is the fourth state to block these laws, Florida, Arkansas, and Alabama, the others. And Oklahoma's attorney general has even agreed not to enforce their ban because there's litigation pending. And by the way, speaking of Trump, while he's trans bashing during this campaign, he once had trans contestants in his beauty pageant, the Miss Universe pageant, and as recently as 2018, and that's what we've got up on the screen now, 2018, his MAGA website was selling LGBTQ merchandise with rainbows spelling out "Make America Great Again."
Look at that merch. I mean, can I get that now? If I went to that website now, would that be up there or would that be on eBay now? Maybe. I bet it's really worth something because, I mean, come on.
It's just insane. All right.
He just shifts with the wind.
Well, the New York State Education Department is implementing new guidelines to assist schools in an effort to support the climate and safety of trans and non-binary people in educational institutions. They were pushed to do this by the state legislature and changes in the human rights law and federal laws protecting trans and gender expansive students. We already had a big anti-bullying law in New York, but this goes farther. Now, what's going on at Wells Fargo?
Oh, Wells Fargo did a report. They had done this analysis in honor of Pride Month, and I think the title got me in, The Secret Source, the LGBTQ plus community and state economic growth rates. And we the choir, won't be surprised to learn that it's states with higher concentrations of people who identify as LGBTQ that have higher rates of economic growth, according to the Wells Fargo study. This was published earlier this month in honor of Pride Month, and it surveyed the gross product of 50 states and DC between 2010 and 2019. Now, researchers have even estimated that these effects should be doubled because since that time, since 2010, there's twice as many people in the nation that identify as LGBTQ. So that's pretty impressive. And that isn't news to us, Andy, though, is it? We've seen reports like this before over the years.
Yeah, there was this researcher, and I hope I don't get his name wrong. I believe his last name was Florida, and he did all these studies saying you want to be an advanced society and prosperous and all that kind of stuff. You got to be good to gay people and let them be out and have lots of them in the mix in your city and in your state if you really want that. And these places are driving us out. All right, now who's Washington State, a district judge there, ordered a spa to allow a trans woman to use facilities who have not undergone bottom surgery. Now, this is a spa modeled after a sex-segregated spas in Korea, where patrons go through a cleansing naked. The spa cited their Christian faith in rejecting the trans patron. I'm sure that's going to be played up quite a bit by the right wing, but that's what the law says in Washington state.
Olympus Spa.
In Burlington, Massachusetts, at Marshall Simmons Middle School, students disrupted a pride event, tearing down banners, just like they did in Sheridan Square the other day, in the Stonewall Monument, chanting, USA are my pronouns, oh brother, and wearing red, white, and blue face paint. It's very tribal. The principal said he's sorry it turned into a day of intolerance.
Okay, but Andy, how much has this got to do with the proximity to Boston? Because Boston people can be a little, Boston young people can be a little feisty, I've noticed. So, you know.
With any generalizations, there's good and bad. I like to say there's good and bad everywhere. In California, though, the assembly voted 9-1 to advance a constitutional amendment that would remove Prop 8 language from the Constitution. Prop 8, the citizens there voted in 2008 to ban same-sex marriage, and it took the Supreme Court decisions, Windsor and Obergefell, to get that. So anyway, it'll appear on the ballot in November 2024. Next year. Oh God, time is running out.
Time is running out.
Now I mentioned some polling that is kind of disturbing. So for the first time in the Gallup poll, where they asked whether gay or lesbian relations are morally acceptable. Now, back in 2000, only 40% said yes, it was acceptable. It got up to 71% in 2022. But with all this right-wing stuff that goes on all the time, they've knocked it down a notch. We're down to 64% in terms of what people feel. Mike Signorelli says it's not a diminishment of support. The haters have created a space where when people are talking to pollsters, they feel more free to express their prejudices. That's what his interpretation is.
I think so. And I think also when people are doing well, they feel more generous about people that they consider minorities. And when people are really doing it tough, they look for minorities to blame. And I think that's the space we're in right now.
And then there's the Pew poll, 60% say business owners should not have to provide services to LGBTQ people if it conflicts with their beliefs, religious or otherwise, about us. Now, in the poll, they use the example of wedding websites, which is the one before the Supreme Court that we're going to be hearing about momentarily. So I think that's, that's an extreme, I'm going to say it's an extreme example, but, it's a put-up job case. And then back to the Pew poll, support for same-sex marriage here is at 63%, but the highest levels of support are in Western Europe. The highest is in Sweden. 92% of Swedes support same-sex marriage. Even 74% of Italians, where it's not legal. The worst in the world, Nigeria, 1%, Indonesia, 3%, Kenya, 3%. And there are big Muslim populations there in Nigeria and Indonesia. And now we see the spectacle of the United States right wing, which bashed Muslims forever after 9/11, right? Now they're courting them as social conservatives that they can line up if they're against gay rights.
Shall we go to Montana?
Yeah, please.
So this case is very interesting to me. So my forebears come from Montana. So to me, in my head, it's like this wild frontier, where you can do what you want. So this guy in Montana, he's now been sentenced to 18 years in prison for trying to kill all the LGBTQ people in his town, not just some. He thinks they all should go. And this is now a federal hate crime and firearm charge related to his self-described mission to just rid the town of Basin of its lesbian, queer, and gay community. Officials have said the man's name is John Russell Howald, who was convicted in February for firing an AK-style rifle into the home of a woman who openly identified as lesbian. She was just inside her home being herself, and he thinks he's killed her. So off he goes and looks for somebody else to shoot. When he was found, he was armed with two assault rifles, a hunting rifle, two pistols, and multiple high-capacity magazines that were taped together for faster loading, the authorities have said. So this is, to me, an example of this mindset where you end up on the wrong side of, you know, your own community, and you go into vigilante mode, I suppose, is what you call this. He said he wanted to clean his town, and I find that language incredibly disturbing.
That's Nazi stuff. But let's talk about, now, first of all, by the way, this guy howled. He previously did prison time for beheading a dog. Quite a character. But how? Let's talk about how he got caught. After he does the first shooting, he's gone down the street. This is a small town of 200 people. He runs into some church people coming out of church, including the pastor, and they recognized him, and they started to talk to him, and he said what he was doing. I'm going to rid this place of gay people. And so the pastor had been recording his own sermon that day, so he had the recorder on, and that's how they really were able to completely convict him of this crime. Speaking of crimes, Republicans, including Ron DeSantis, say when they have the power, they will restore the racist names of military bases, such as Fort Bragg, a Confederate general, widely considered the least successful military commander in the lost cause of the Civil War. It's now named Fort Liberty. DeSantis calls that political correctness, and Pence echoed him.
Well, yeah, it's based on pick your battles, DeSantis. That's what I want to say. Pick your damn battles, because this is a very lame naming convention. It's called Fort Bragg because it's near where he lived, and not even his own troops liked him, apparently. So what are we fighting for? Exactly. It's crazy.
They're fighting for racial segregation and white supremacy. That's what they're fighting for. In North Carolina, city councilman in Apex, North Carolina, Scott Lassiter, is suing the anti-LGBTQ speaker of the North Carolina House, Representative Tim Moore, I have a picture of him there, for having an affair with his wife and engaging in group sex with other people seeking political favor with the speaker. Lassiter's wife admitted that the affair had gone on for 3 years, as did Moore in a meeting with Lassiter. Lassiter is suing for alienation of affections. I will say Mrs. Lassiter, who separated from Scott, says their marriage was a nightmare, but this is one of these anti-LGBTQ people who's enjoying group sex and having affairs. So leave us alone.
Leave us alone. Take your own stinking values and get away. Marriage is marriage. And I like that. North Carolina is one of the few states that you can actually sue for alienation of affection, but it's a thing.
In Concord, New Hampshire, a drag story hour hosted by Juicy Garland monthly at the Teetotaler Cafe was attacked by neo-Nazis. We have video.
Oh,
Rich, enough of that. We get it. And notice that they're cowards. They're all wearing masks.
It's terrifying to me, Andy. This is Concord, New Hampshire. I've been there. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful town. Why are these youngish men acting like this? It's incredible to me to see this.
Well, Juicy Garland says she prevailed and had a great time. And that was had by the families, but the Nazi stuff is extremely chilling. And
golly, I didn't order those, she said. God love her.
Now, what do you think about what Glad is saying about Twitter?
I think they're right on. I mean, they've been saying for some time that none of the social media platforms are safe. And of course they're not. They're run by late stage capitalist heterosexual white men with, you know, megalomania complexes, as I said before in our intro to you, Andy. We can't trust them. But she has said, Sarah Kate, the fabulous president of GLAAD, have said that Twitter is by far the worst. And especially since Elon Musk has taken over, it is not a safe space for anybody. On the scorecard, GLAAD said it is the most dangerous platform for LGBTQ people and the only one that saw its scores decline from last year to 33%, down from 45% a year ago.
Okay. I want to talk about a couple of non-LGBTQ deaths of icons this week, both dedicated human rights leaders. Daniel Ellsberg, of course, who died at 92. He leaked the Pentagon Papers about the Vietnam War, exposed the corruption behind our war in Vietnam. You know, the fact that the leaders knew we were losing and knew the war was wrong, but kept doing it anyway. He was a military analyst. He became a lifelong peace activist and the most famous whistleblower of all time. And the Supreme Court held 6-3 that newspapers had the right to publish those papers. It was a great victory for freedom of the press. Henry Kissinger was responsible for the deaths of thousands of Cambodians, among other war crimes, and he once called Ellsberg the most dangerous man in America. Kissinger sadly still lives. Ellsberg was arrested at 90 civil disobedience actions against war and against nukes. Yeah, so.
Andy, can you connect the dots for me? I want to know, do you feel that there was some direct influence of Ellsberg and this kind of loosening of information and our civil rights movement with the LGBTQ community?
Well, I mean, you know, we're inspired by anybody who stands up for the truth, which is what we've been trying to get out about ourselves. Don't forget, there was a complete, I mean, you know, the New York Times published the Pentagon Papers that wouldn't publish anything about us for a long time. I mean, you know, it's all about getting information out and getting so that people get to know us and get to know what's really going on. I mean, that would be the connection that I would make. But I mean, he was just somebody who stood up for justice, and he was an inspiration to many of us, as was Glenda Jackson, the famous actor, 87 years old, passed away, star of stage, screen, and the UK Parliament. Two early roles where she had relationships with bisexual men, The Music Lovers, where she was Tchaikovsky's wife, and she played, and my favorite one of hers, Sunday Bloody Sunday. She also won an Oscar for Larry Kramer's adaptation of G.H. Lawrence's Women in Love, which also featured lots of homoeroticism. When she played Ophelia on the stage in Hamlet, she was so fierce that a reviewer said she should have been playing Hamlet. Late in life, she played King Lear himself, and this is only within the last couple of years. She won the Tony Award for Edward Albee's Three Tall Women on Broadway. And her, I think her greatest performance was when Margaret Thatcher died. She got up in Parliament, and she, without any notes, she gave a speech on the occasion of Margaret Thatcher's death that read this kind of monster, the Riot Act. It was so terrific. I think I'll link to it in the notes this week, because you know she said Margaret Thatcher destroyed everything that she held dear or that British people used to hold dear. Mm-hmm. She also narrated the documentary of the 1966 book "The Microcosm" on LGBTQ themes just last year, which is about a lesbian bar, Gateways. Do you know about
that? Oh, yeah. Gateways is a very famous bar in the UK. It's where the killing of Sister George was set. Oh. I mean, for gay women, Glenda Jackson, we value her because she is a strong woman and an unconventional woman.
Yeah. All right. So should we go to some international news?
Sure.
Talk about what's going on in Uganda.
Well, nothing good for our community, as we know, but the U.S. has finally made a stand and has imposed visa restrictions on anti-LGBTQ Ugandan politicians who might want to come here. After the African nation passed, as we know, an anti-LGBTQ law, which is basically the kill the gays law, that has been condemned by many countries and the United Nations and, of course, the U.S. State Department. This law is considered one of the harshest in the world. It's been enacted in May of this year for what they're calling aggravated homosexuality, which is such a broad term. It's such a dangerous term. It's like saying aggravated race, you know, in my book. But this would include transmitting HIV through gay sex, things like this. And, of course, the West has I complain that this is inhuman. So this is what the U.S. State Department has done. So thank you. See if it makes a difference.
They haven't named the names publicly yet, but the people have been told. And, you know, it was a big story this week. There's not much hope for the Ugandan opposition to the president for life, Museveni. Ugandan rebels based in the Congo stormed a school across the border and murdered 37 students by burning them alive and the staff. It's just not much hope. by the way, Saudi Arabia, speaking of atrocities, which just took over the PGA Tour and put me off professional golf, is executing 7 men who allegedly committed crimes as minors, including one who was 12 years old when he committed this alleged crime, and they're going to put him to death. 6 were sentenced on terrorism-related charges, which in Saudi Arabia means criticizing the government. Amnesty says they were convicted under unfair trials, marred by torture, tainted confessions.
And none of these are related to LGBTQ identity, I hope, although we don't really know, do we? Because some of the charges could be trumped up.
They do have the death penalty there for just plain old homosexuality. Yeah. Let's talk about Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Here he is. He was recorded at a party conference mocking trans women, making fun of the Liberal Democratic leader, Ed Davey, saying Davey is trying to convince everybody that women clearly had penises. Raucous laughter from many in the party, although younger members who were present were said to look uncomfortable. The Tories have retreated on trans rights, as have many right-wing governments in the world. Sunak plans to rewrite the Equality Act to bar trans women from single-sex spaces, including sports. He also had the UK Parliament take the unprecedented step of overturning the Scottish Parliament's Gender Recognition Act in January. What a creep.
What a creep. And when he was Downing Street was pressed for comment, they basically said, well, it's consistent with everything else he said thus far, which I thought was incredible. No apology there.
But Maren, you have better news from Queensland, Australia.
I do, and I hope you all aren't getting bored with the Aussie news whenever I come on, but it is interesting, I think, to sometimes look at what's happening down there. In Queensland, Australia, which I say very affectionately, is our kind of Texas, Florida, but nicer. It's sort of got a mixed history of being a little bit freedom-seeking, a little bit discriminatory or conservative. Queensland, you know. There's a clue. But in great news for transgender people, the Queensland government has passed reforms allowing how parents identify gender-wise on birth certificates. They can be the mothers, they can be two fathers, they can just be parent. And also the new law allows trans and gender diverse people to change the sex listed on their own birth certificate without the need for gender reassignment. And by the way, that is what's happening around Australia, except for one state, hold out, New South Wales, which doesn't make sense to me because it's our most progressive and popular state. We'll see what happens there.
And we got good news from Estonia. The parliament passed the Marriage Equality Act there, 55-34, becoming the 35th country to do so and the first Baltic state to do so. It's a nation of 1.3 million people. Same-sex marriage commenced on January 1st. The center-right prime minister, Kaja Kallas, said, this is a decision that does not take anything away from anyone, but gives something important to many. I am proud of Estonia. Partnerships, and they will continue registered partnerships. By the way, the president of Latvia's parliament, as we reported, Edgars Rinkevičs, is openly gay. Estonia.
Estonia, and I want them to win the next Eurovision Song Contest. How about that? I hope they try.
Okay. Cameroon, the country's communication council, now prohibits LGBTQI scenes on television, promising punishment for violations. Like Ron DeSantis, they're especially upset about Disney for integrating LGBTQ characters into cartoons. Take us to Poland.
Oh, it's chilling, isn't it? Isn't it just chilling? Paul, and this was a little bit of good news. Thousands, tens of thousands, some people say, marched in Warsaw for LGBT rights. This is ahead of the elections that are planned for later this year in October or November. This was Warsaw's Pride Parade on Saturday. And the country's right-wing government will focus, of course, on anti-LGBTQ ideology as they have done in previous campaigns. So this turnout is considered to be a demonstration against that as an expectation of reality, which I think is nice. Warsaw's mayor vowed that the LGBTQ community would always be safe. And I hope that you all will be safe in Poland. Rafał, I'm going to pronounce this right, Rakowski from the Liberal Opposition Party told crowds. Same-sex relationships, as you would know, are not legal in Poland, and the country's already banned LGBTQ adoption.
Okay. In Japan, they passed a watered-down LGBTQ understanding bill, whatever the hell that means, with no human rights guarantees and tacit endorsement of some forms of discrimination. All it says is that there should be no unfair discrimination.
Well, I can tell you what it means. They don't want marriage equality in Japan, of course. But what Japan is doing really at the moment is they're under pressure from the Group of Seven. They're the only country in the G7 alliance that doesn't have full rights for LGBTQ people or same-sex marriage. So this is their kind of token conciliatory gesture. They rushed the bill. They only got it approved a day before the a convention happened in May. So it's just sort of tokenistic. I know LGBT rights activists in Japan are very disappointed by this, but they also see that it's a good sign, somewhat encouraging, because at least it's being discussed now. And while marriage equality hasn't been passed, the politicians have admitted that they see the discrimination and they acknowledge it.
Though there was one pro-LGBTQ legislator who said it would have been better if they had done nothing. That's how bad it was. So we'll see. Do you have any other international news?
No, I think that's it for now.
A brief AIDS note. Wackadoodle, Democratic candidate for president RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., who's polling about 20% to Joe Biden, is claiming that poppers cause AIDS. Poppers. And that kids are being made trans from exposure to chemicals in the environment. Now, I realize there are some of you who might want to send a message to Joe Biden in the primary by voting for somebody else, but don't do it this way, and validate all of this hateful stuff. Okay.
Can I just say he's got some things really wrong? I mean, that's an obscure journal from 1999 that said there might be a connection between Kaposi sarcoma or the use of poppers and the rate at which you are more likely to contract HIV. It's like he scrambled it in his brain, just like his comment about pesticides are turning boys transgender. That, again, goes to something from a national government site which said that too many pollutants in the atmosphere can unbalance the endocrinal balance in humans. So he's taking these small little pieces of, knowledge or investigative knowledge, and he's turning them around into something. Why? He's a Democrat. What's he doing?
Okay, we're down to our last 5 minutes. Let's do some entertainment news.
Yay.
All right. HBO, by the way, has their Rock Hudson documentary premiering on June 28th. Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed. I'll be tuning in for that. What's going on at the La Jolla Playhouse?
Oh, a play about Billie Jean King. I want to see how that works. I just keep thinking, tennis. But it is by the legendary Anna Deavere Smith. So if anyone can pull that off, it will be her. Apparently, she kind of brings into discourse a lot of the personalities in Billie Jean's life and her trailblazing career as a champion tennis player, including, I'd love to see what she does with Margaret Court's voice. That would be interesting.
And that's her with the entire cast and crew there of the play, which is called Love All.
Nice.
Christian Cooper series on Nat Geo Wild, Extraordinary Birder, watched it this week in the premiere. It's up and running. And his enthusiasm and wonder and humor on discovering new birds is quite infectious. The first episode took place in Puerto Rico. He's also got his book out, Better Living Through Birding. he also incorporated into this Nat Geo special a pride message about same-sex relationships in the Wild Kingdom. You know, I mean, it was, you know, and it was great that they included that and they integrated that, not just because it's Pride Month. So congratulations, Chris.
Yes.
How about that Elton John? He says he's no longer going to do residencies with his farewell tour in America because we've become so horrible on LGBTQ rights. You ought to look at Rishi Sunak there over in the United Kingdom, too.
I'm like, boo, Elton. Don't punish us. Don't punish the people that have supported you. You know, come and be an ambassador. How about that?
I want to alert people about a photo exhibit in New York. It's called A District Defined, Streets, Sex, and Survival in the Meatpacking District. I'm going to be dropping by there. It's at 401 West 14th Street at a place called 401. I'm going to include all the information in our email. And I went to the New York LGBTQ Center's garden party last night as the center turns 40. And, you know, we're going to show you some of these pictures. There's our friend Chef Juana and Michael Swirsky. I can't identify everybody in these pictures, but it's a wonderful thing out in the open air. Everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling and having a great time. A very, very good. There's Kathy and Marino Thomas and Sheila Marino Thomas. There's Rich Wandel. Stay on him for a second. That's the guy who used to run the archive at the LGBTQ Community Center. And many others as well, as we just flip through these pictures. There's Ted Snowden, the great theatrical producer, and Fred Karger, who ran for president. And there's Randy Weingarten there in the middle, the head of the teachers union nationally, and her wife there on the right, Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum. So great time was had by all.
It's a beautiful event, I have to say, one of my favorites during summer or Pride.
Were you there last night?
No, I was there last year, though.
I managed to get over. It's quite close to me. I was able to walk there up to about 36th Street or 37th Street. So what else have you – we had a minute. What else have you got planned for this week?
I think we should let Miriam Margolis take us out because when do you get an 82-year-old lesbian posing nude in British Vogue? Now, well, not quite nude, and this is very Margolis style – but shout out to Miriam. She's a national trinket in England, as they would say. In Australia, she's a national treasure. She's been featured in British Vogue's Pride issue. And she said some zingers here, which I love. She came out in 1966 in the UK when it was still illegal. I mean, she could have been locked up and jailed, but she didn't care. This Jewish lesbian, she said, I never had any shame about being gay or anything really, because it was me. I couldn't be criminal because it's who I am. I think gay people are very lucky because we are not conventional. We're a group of slightly apart. It gives us an edge. We're good artists. We're good musicians. And I like being gay. I wouldn't want to be straight for anything.
We love her. I've encountered her a couple of times when I'm in London, and she is fearless. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week.
Happy Pride. Stay safe.
Liberation Day.